love, fear, and the human condition. So in reflecting on this theme, which pretty much takes in everything, I somehow had to reflect on a retreat I went to many, many, many years ago, which was at Omega, and it was led by Stanislav Grof and Jack Kornfield. And those of you who don't know, Stanislav Grof is a psychiatrist who in the 60s was working with LSD with his patients, feeling that in many ways you could speed up the process of recognizing your storyline that caused you misery, and through a change in consciousness, a very radical change in consciousness, perhaps have a new perspective about your life. Well, that was fine in the 60s, but then it was banned. LSD was banned for use. And as a result, he found another more natural way to achieve the same effects, which is called holotropic breathing, which is basically just speeding up your breath to the point where you are out of your ordinary state of mind. We saw, in addition to a lot of talking, we saw many, many films about the birth process and the fetus in the womb and just the whole manifestation of birthing in many, many different aspects. And it made me think that our first experience of love is when the sperm meets the egg. Now, that's an unknown process, how one sperm finds one egg in a group of the same is a mystery. It starts out as a mystery, but their coming together is like magnetic pulling, which for me is what love is about. I mean, it's about such a deep connection between the sperm and the egg that a whole human being emerges. How extraordinary is that? I mean, just thinking about it is mind-blowing. From two elements comes one being. Talk about connectedness. So for me, that's the beginning of love. Of course, it's love at first sight. Those two elements come together, but not in any sense that we would relate to at this point. But I just see it. And then this extraordinary human being that's come out of this union lands up in the womb where it's perfection. Everything is taken care of. Total love, comfort, ease, maybe even joy takes place during roughly 9 months. And then, I mean, that's all love. Let's say the connection, the pregnancy, 9 to 10 months. And then this being is forced into this narrow little canal, pushed out of paradise, and into, we don't know how long it takes to move through the birth canal. I mean, some people have very, very long labors. So that to me is fear, the beginning of fear. And then you pop out into this gravity-driven universe. I mean, wow, what a shift. Good God, I mean, just thinking about it makes my hair stand on end. We've all been through it. You can't come here without going through that. So we start out already immersed in love and fear, love and fear. You know, and then, of course, depending upon how things evolve in your environment and so on and so forth. But the beginning is already there. It's like built into the mind-body long before we're aware of a mind-body. You know, and one of my dear associates at the Ocean Zendo just became a grandfather. And the baby was born in the house in a tub of water which was quite extraordinary because the mother had no pain. It happened, you know, virtually after she went into labor. And visiting that child when he was about 3 weeks old, I remembered that I had noticed about other infants that it takes 3 months, really, before that infant is present. So for me, it sort of suggests that the infant is still swimming in where he came from, where she came from, and all of the experiences that had led to this being. It's it really is extraordinary. So, of course, we all went through, you know, many people have, in going back to the idea of the retreat, Graf's retreat, many people have birth experiences, many people have past life experiences. It's very gripping. And the practitioner lies on the floor and has a partner encouraging them to keep that breath going so that they don't lose contact with whatever other consciousness is being present at the moment. Anyway, I move on to a poem about being human, and it's called The Guest House by Rumi. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. Here we are, every morning. A joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty. Would I love that? Somebody to come and sweep my house empty and start again. Still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So how ready are we to give up resistance to what we don't like? Especially when it frightens us. I was on a retreat, a very long time ago, where from the very outset, I was in a state of anxiety, which just kept growing. It was a 10-day retreat, and finally the teacher said to me, look, he said, don't try to sit, just walk. When you feel, you know, that it's unbearable and you can't deal with it, go for a walk. So somehow I managed, you know, I mean, I had many thoughts of going home and escaping, as you can imagine. I mean, I just didn't want to be there. But one night, the anxiety was so unbelievable that something in me said, okay, I give in, I surrender, just take me where I have to go. So it became like ocean waves. It's like the anxiety would rise, and then I would take a deep breath. And then it would rise again, and I would take a deep breath. And it was a timeless experience. Have no idea how long it took. But by the end of that, I was still. How extraordinary. I mean, I could never have predicted the experience or the outcome of that experience. And the teacher, when I told him about it, said, well, you'll never have to go through this again. Well, you know what bullshit that is. I had similar experiences for many years at the beginning of my practice where I was determined. I had to prove to myself that I had the strength to do this, so I would sit. And at that time, we were sitting for an hour at a time. and I would be in excruciating physical pain, but I would refuse to move, which meant that I wasn't breathing, but, you know, who cared? I was able to maintain this, you know. Anyway, after a while, in the teachings, I learned that that's not a loving attitude. That's just a fearful attitude. The way to do it is to regard your body as your teacher and to really be willing to enter the points of discomfort or pain or resistance and to see what was held there. And so, I mean, that was an opening beyond, because that really put me in touch with the nature of the practice, which is to what extent can we embrace what we don't like, or what we're afraid, I mean, basically what we don't like is what we're afraid of. So can we bring love, as Rumi says, can we bring love to those moments when we feel we'd rather die than continue? And, you know, to know that everybody lives through this. You can't be human without this kind of experiencing. But those of us who are willing to take this on in our practice, wow, what potential. Thomas Merton says, true love and prayer are learned in the moment when prayer becomes impossible and the heart turns to stone. That doesn't mean every moment. We wouldn't manage that, I don't think. And let's see. Ezra Bida says, it's running from our monsters that we make them seem so solid. Whatever we resist exists a stronghold. In solidifying it, we empower it to stay in our lives. It's interesting, by really learning about what is resistance and how does it manifest in this body-mind, it's always in the body. I mean, the body is the greatest teacher you've been given. And the way I see it is that everything you ever need to know exists in your body-mind right now, always, from moment to moment. So the willingness to go in there, to go in that, and really bring it the love that we need at every moment in our lives. That really, love is what dispels fear, in my experience. In I guess it was the late 60s, early 70s, there was a radio program every Sunday morning where a spiritual teacher would come and give a talk of one kind or another. And way back there, Ram Dass used to talk regularly on this program. And one of the phrases that he used that still stays with me is, by letting go, it all gets done. The world is won by those who let it go. But if you try and try, the world is beyond the winning. And I had no idea what he was talking about, but it grabbed me. You know, that's what's so interesting about it. As you look back on your life, you know, it's like T.S. Eliot says that at the end, you will go back to the beginning and know the place for the first time. And that happens over and over to me, you know, where an experience happens and I think, oh my God, is that where it came from? Like the egg and the sperm. I don't think I'll remember that, but I'm sure it's there, somewhere. It really is our breath that gives us life. It's the first thing that happens when we emerge from the birth canal. We take a breath and we cry, naturally. We've been terrified in that birth canal. This is all, you understand that this is my intuition. This is not necessarily the truth. This is just the way I see it, or what's come to me in the process of getting this talk together. One of the stories that I love so much because of this, one of the Buddha stories, is so much like what I've just said, is the Buddha used to teach from town to town with a million other preachers and teachers and so on going through town to town. And he came into this one place and the woman said to him, you know, she said, it's very confusing because there are so many teachings that come through here. I have no idea what to believe. And the Buddha said, don't believe anything. Try it out. If it works, fine. If it doesn't, out the window. And that's part of what I'm saying about the fact that we know everything. Everything is built in. All we have to do is to be willing to go there, whatever it is, like it or not. I was on a retreat once where the Buddha said that there are three potential experiences in each moment. One is it pleasant? Two, is it unpleasant? And three, is it neutral? So we spent days noticing moment after moment, is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? It's very, very concentrating. And then there was a Bible for me in the 70s that was called The Lazy Man's Guide to Enlightenment by Thaddeus Golas. And that was really a Bible for me. I haven't looked at it for many, many years, but in preparation for this, for whatever reason, I got in touch with it again. He says, there is nothing... Wait. Expansion in love is an action that is available to every being in the universe all the time, like the air. A willing awareness will take us to heaven. A loving attitude will make us free. There is nothing on earth more important than the love which conscious beings feel toward each other, whether or not it is ever expressed. And you will not be able to rise above your present vibrational level to stay until you love the way you are now. If you avoid negative thoughts, they will sooner or later manifest themselves physically. It is your resistance to negative thought, whether you bring it to consciousness or not, that makes it manifest in your life. And finally, when you learn to love, you will be in heaven. And we've all had moments of that kind of connection where, what else is there? You know, I mean, it's so deep, our relationship with ourselves and with each other. There is nothing that is more glorious than that. And we've all had moments of it, or we wouldn't be here. It's as simple as that. We would not be here, because nobody who has not experienced that would make the effort that we're making in this process. And going back to T.S. Eliot again, let's see. In order to arrive at what you do not know, you must go by a way which... You must go by... Now, wait a minute. I'm confused. In order to possess what you do not possess, you must go by the way of dispossession. In order to arrive at what you are not, you must go through the way you are not. And what you do not know is the only thing you know. And what you own is what you do not own, like your body. And where you are is where you are not. And that was going to be my closing note. However, this morning, I read an article in Parabola magazine that just blew me away. It's Amor Fati. It's called The Love of One's Fate. To love one's fate is to embrace the loathing of a frog. See, I can't even read my own writing. Kiss the suppurating wound, accept the ignominy of defeat, and yet find that somehow one has been blessed. And William Butler Yeats says, I am content to follow to its source every event in action or in thought. Measure the lot, forgive myself the lot. When such as I cast out remorse, so great a sweetness flows into the breast, we must laugh and we must sing. We are blessed by everything. Everything one looks upon is blessed. That's just this morning. What an affirmation. Without even looking, it just came. That's it for now.